Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
A pre-recorded Ocelli Effect meant to be sent out as a podcast, and I hope everybody is doing well as we kick off 2017. This is not a live show, so what I'm going to do, to be honest with you, is instead of asking a guest to join me or having any sort of agenda, I'm going to put together a compilation of various sound files and just let it fly. A bunch of things that I don't get to play during the show normally because we are involved in a lot of conversations. It is just into that January part of that thing we allegedly call a calendar. And hopefully everybody who's hearing the sound of my voice is doing well. I don't know if this will be replayed on other networks or anything like that, but if you download the podcast or if you subscribe through iTunes or whatever else, you'll be getting this. Anyway, a bunch of sound clips, yes. The majority of it, I might play that one Jack Blood before I'm all done today. It'll be in a two-hour format. We're going to just give you some interesting, thought-provoking stuff, and it's not going to be the coherent conversation that we're normally doing on the show. I think that it's going to be an interesting year. There will not be a lot of time for us to get lazy and complacent, I figure, but hey, who am I to say? I'm not going to recut this or redo this. I got Frankie behind me. There are floodwaters around me, apparently. A lot of rain. I'm in a lot of pain. And hopefully you guys are all doing well, no matter where you may be, utilizing the slab of choice, your applicable application, or whatever the hell else actually carries this show. Don't know if it'll make it to YouTube. God help me, it's probably got a ton of copyright strikes that'll probably happen if I try. But why not? Let's give it a shot. Anyhow, let's see how this goes. There might be pieces of conversation, a little bit of music, etc., etc. And let's just see what happens. Maybe I'll do an intro or two as we move further and give you guys a concept of what it is I'm talking about. But you know what? It occurs to me that maybe I should just play the sound files without introduction and let you guys ask the questions later if that's what you're into. And if not, it'll just be one annoying episode where you don't really appreciate what it is I did. Anyhow, here we go.
Thank you.
Right, and this is because what has been encouraged is the disconnection from the self and the disconnection from one another, and encouraged is the connection into the artificial, into the surrogate, yeah. which is the system. That's what the problem is, whether it's religion, government, or anything else. And, you know, as far as matriarchal symbols go, look, we got Lady Liberty, we got Lady Justice, and they're doing us no good because there is no balance to that scale without
them.
You know, without the other side of it. That's what the problem is.
You know, but all you
mean?
Have.
But,
well, nice to hear from you, Chuck. And definitely. Happy New Year, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Chuck. Happy New Year, bud.
And you know, any of you guys, I love it when you guys give me suggestions and stuff to do with the show and everything. Let me know. Definitely looking to change things up a little more this year. I think I'm going to try and work with those Suspect Sky guys a little more. They were pretty cool. I don't know if you heard that show at all, but I like those guys. If you guys haven't seen it on YouTube, just check out the Suspect Sky YouTube channel. Pretty cool guys over there.
They're the ones doing infrared camera, and
they, you know, they might have done some of that, and they've done some of the, you know, off-world stuff, but they've also been doing discussions on, you know, fake news and the weaponization of social media and all that kind of stuff too. They're an interesting cross-section of guys. The one guy, Gary, does that show called The Road Less Traveled, I think. And
yeah, I've heard of that.
The one guy, Tony, is from Guns and Butter. Yeah.
I like what you're doing with the Greek. I'm glad you picked that up again.
Well, it's exhausting.
He's a tough one. I don't know how you do it, but you do well.
Yeah, you're very brave, Chuck.
Well, look, the only thing I know for sure is that it was a little more entertaining than when Seth was just like, yes, yes.
When he bothered to show up.
That too. But hey, man.
He was loose.
And, you know, the Greek's information is interesting. It is interesting. A lot of it I agree with.
The most part, it's infallible. I mean... You can do as much research as you want. You can't fault what he says, really.
Yeah, some things. Some things for sure. My biggest problem with him, though, that he won't listen to is, you know, when we go into the whole, well, the biblical text is the, you know, the point that he
first
won't.
First class.
First class, right. But here's what's first class, and here's what's been memorialized and continuously repeated, you know, over and over again quite nicely. And that is the human form and its exactness. The, you know, the sequence of things that causes each of the joints to be presented the same way and the natural order of things all around us, which, if one is so intuitively inclined, can figure out what the order of the universe is based on that kind of stuff, or at the very least what's on this rock already, without having to look for whatever the hell somebody decided to memorialize a couple thousand years ago.
Thanks for stopping in, buddy.
You guys are always fun, no matter what. Thanks. And I'll definitely talk to you guys again soon, all right?
And, cheers to you, Chuck.
Hey, thank you. Sunshine, enjoy that shot.
I just did.
There we go.
That's number two.
Okay, can we get quiet, please? Everybody sit down. Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavored. And now the moment we've all been waiting for. My guest tonight is a man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. A man who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the world's largest cherry-flavored Jell-O shooter that the world has ever seen. And a great man of science who proved to us once and for all that no matter how much cherry-flavored Jell-O you put in your swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. I give to you, Chuck O'Kelly!
Elements in every law of nature, forgotten in modern times, reestablishing balance and harmony, the body can heal itself. Earth, wind, fire, water, ether, healing the mind, body, and spirit. Elemental evolution.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered why Charles Manson and George W. Bush seem to remind you of each other? Well, this is an interesting clip I discovered over the past few months, past year, I don't know, somewhere in there. And I thought that this would be entertaining to compare the two. So, enjoy this one.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I walk a line. And I was afraid of getting caught. That's basic Christian philosophy. Frankly, I didn't contemplate it.
Now I figure, well, I don't want to die, so maybe I have been sinful here. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I'll take a look at my life and say, well, I'm going to change it and start all over.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
I said, if you're going to do something, leave something with you.
That's the assessment that I made from the intelligence.
Just like I would tell you, if you're going to do something, do it well. And leave something with you. Leave a sign to let the world know that you were there.
They can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
I might have been so stoned, I don't remember.
Frankly, I'll be honest with you, I don't have any idea.
No, I don't think the drugs have hurt me. If I overdone it, I think it would.
I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
I'm not very wise to many things.
My blood wasn't boiling.
If I wanted to kill somebody, I'd take this book and beat you to death with it, and I wouldn't feel a thing.
Either you take care of him, or we will.
See, if I'm going to explain it to you, it's not going to be that easy. So you're going to have to bear with me.
I mean, I'm sick when I think about the death.
You've got a stone wall there. Won't you take it down a little bit?
It's gut-wrenching.
It's a comedy. It's a comedy tragedy opera that was played in the early morning.
Some citizens are fearful of stepping up.
If you're going to go to war and you're fighting your enemy and you kill him when he's afraid, you know, it's a bad omen. It's bad.
They don't protect us from killers.
When you go to war against an enemy, you go to war for God and country, and you give your life to that cause. They were going out to fight the war.
They hurt us again. They want to hurt us again.
There's no doubt about that, and I can handle that also. I've been handling, ain't I?
Destroyed lives and put them in mass graves and had torture rooms.
Now you do what I say.
You continue to take life, destroy life.
It's good. It teaches you things.
I'm a better person than you are.
I'm telling you. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Look, nobody likes to see dead people on their television screens.
You know, I can't judge nobody else. The best thing I can do is try to judge myself and live with that.
I reject that.
I don't fit in society, and I am incompetent.
That's who's responsible for killing Americans.
A long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy.
I just say, no, not like White Russian Chocochelli. He's not idiot.
Oh, here we go. Now Jason's going to do White Russian impressions. All right. No, but, you know, a serious topic, though, because here's the fascinating part, right? Okay, the pharmaceutical companies wanted to push stuff, yes, but it was the industrialists who made cannabis an issue and made hemp illegal here and all of that. But the fascinating part, I think, is that no one ever deals with the why of any of this. The excesses of anything, even water, is an unhealthy excess to the human body, okay? Mm-hmm. And the industries that have now cropped up due to drug treatment are really fascinating as well. I mean, any American, you can find a personal experience now. It's not a matter of there's just a few people that are taking the pharmaceuticals in order to treat the alleged mental illnesses. And I say alleged mental illnesses because these things keep changing in the practice of psychology and diagnosis and all this other nonsense. It's such a nebulous, subjective piece of nonsense, the whole psychiatric industry, and the fact that there is profiteering being done based on the pharmaceutical industry. We now have the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I mean, that's really what it is. So who spends more money? You know, the military-industrial complex doesn't need to advertise so much anymore, does it? Doesn't need to buy the lobbyists so much anymore, does it? But every couple of months, a new, allegedly new drug or a new push anyway on a drug comes out. And simultaneously, we have our own government well involved in what? Dumping illicit drugs onto the streets of its own country. And we find that over and over again. Of course, we don't have to point to Gary Webb. We can look at the current situation with the opiate problem here in America, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Gary Webb, you know, how he, for those who don't know, back in the 80s, basically, you know, blew the whistle on all the drugs that our government was helping smuggle into California, and that's what we have to thank for the problem, as far as, you know.
Didn't he commit suicide by shooting himself twice in the head?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's one of those.
Even here in Yorkshire, we still, you know, we're all connected. We all know. We all take notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he wrote for the Mercury. He wrote for the Mercury.
The pharmaceutical companies, here in the UK, unless... they basically made all the homeopathic things illegal unless it was approved by the government, who just happened to be in the pockets of the oil industry who got all these byproducts that they didn't know what to do with.
You don't say.
Yeah, okay, let's tell people that they need our drugs then instead, we'll turn them into drugs.
No, absolutely. That's what they've done here as well. A little bit different schedule for this stuff. But same exact thing. Funny thing about that, though, you know, you said, Fox, that they imported it into California. Okay, well, that's where Gary Webb started from. But I had two of his sources on my show not too long ago. Take a look back at Dark Alliance. One of them was Sally Castillo, who understood the DEA aspect of that. And, you know, what did they do when Sally complained about that, the DEA being complicit in drug dealing? Well, they put out a hit on him. You know, and what else? Well, gee, I had Freeway Ricky Ross on. Now, Freeway Ricky Ross was definitely California-based, and he had a system in California, but this man started setting up franchises all over the country. You wanted to know how crack got to your neighborhood so easily? It's because Freeway Ricky Ross couldn't sell all the cocaine in California that the CIA was delivering him. It's that simple. I mean, that's how bad it was. Oh, gee, but I'm talking ancient history,
Do you think
right?
That same situation is going on with smack here in America, or is the heroin coming from somewhere else?
Well, they already did it in the 1970s. The CIA was extremely instrumental in allowing that stuff from the Golden Triangle to get in here, and certain people were privileged with the ability to deal it. That's why it was so dirt cheap in the 70s. As for now, we're being flooded with it. Nobody's quite discovered the Freeway Ricky Ross of smack yet. Nobody's quite discovered God, the guy who did who was the inspiration for the movie American Gangster, Frank.
Oh yeah, and you've got Scarface. What was the real guy's name? Pablo Escobar in Miami for all the coke and shit. And maybe, you know, government was working with him a bit too.
Well, Scarface was kind of dreamed up by Oliver Stone, but it did fit in.
It was based on Pablo. It was based on the drug trade in Miami back in the 70s and 80s and Escobar and whatnot.
Yeah, partially, but Escobar's story is much, much better than that story in Scarface, even though Scarface is an iconic thing, and oh, my God, don't say anything, but... Escobar's story is much more interesting because notice Scarface didn't have any sort of government backing. Okay, he was doing it independently, wasn't he? Was the U.S. government helping him out? No. So that's not Escobar's story. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Fox, I've got a my stepdaughter's. Now ex-fiancé, he did some tours out in Afghanistan, and he said the whole war and everything over there was all about making sure that the opium just kept coming.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah, I mean, which was where they'd go to the local farmer and say, okay, look, you can keep your land, but half of it, you've got to go half offers on it.
All I know is half the city, half the city I live in is. Yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, the powers that be expect the crop to be so big off per acre of land, and when the weather's not too good and the crop's not as good as it should be, they say, well, okay, but we've got this crop, but it's not enough, so you now owe us some money. So what we're going to do, we're going to take another half of the land that you've got, so now they own three quarters of it, and off that crop, we expect you to get such and such. This is the amount we expect the crop to be. And so within two years, they basically own all of that farmer's land because he hasn't kept up his part of the bargain, and so they just make him homeless. Now, if somebody came to the UK and said, right, okay, hey, you're going to have to grow this stuff in your back garden, and after 2 years I was homeless, I'd go and buy a gun and shoot the bastards. I would be a rebel, and I would be a terrorist, or whatever other label they want to put on me.
Insurgent.
I would be one of those guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And considering the fact that if everybody recalls correctly what happened, we supported the Northern Alliance, remember, in that coalition attempt go after the Taliban, who absolutely had quashed the majority of the opium being grown in their country, regardless of what you want to say about them on a moral standpoint, you can say that. The Northern Alliance, though, they were funding their military efforts with what, folks? Heroin.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the guys that we were celebrating, supporting, and allowing them to roll back into the formerly held territory of the Taliban. You know, a lot of impressions are left about the political or social implications of these strongmen at different times. You know, Saddam Hussein was supposed to be Satan on Earth, too, but a few years previous, we were supporting him, weren't we? This is all fun and games. And at the end of the day,
you can guarantee that if either the US or the UK government are backing somebody in a foreign country today, in 10 or 20 years' time, they'll be calling them a terrorist and trying to put them out on the street. That will just happen.
Exactly, Jason.
That would actually aid it up.
Oh, sorry. Well, either way.
But when you're talking... the production of opiates and things like that. I mean, if anybody's got any sort of doubts about whether that's true or not, then all they're going to do is look at the case of Pat Tillman, who blow the whistle. He wrote home. He was Pat Tillman. We know Pat Tillman, don't we?
American football player.
It was on the news out over in the US.
That's right. Is it American football player he was?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Mm. I'm not exactly sure what the particulars were there. But
yeah,
this is the
I'm
guy
not
was
really
killed.
Sure either. Maybe
this is
maybe
a guy who was killed in a friendly fire incident, but. You know, a lot of these guys are turned against when they want to blow the whistle on the program. It happens every single time. You know what's fascinating, too, is that when we look at the Iraqi war, we see the same kind of stuff, don't we? And isn't it fascinating that they transfer the same people that were the architects of the death squads in South America? Well, they seem to reemerge once again in a place called Iraq a few years later. Because, listen, blood is profit, drugs are profit, oil is profit, and it seems to me as though if you can remove these three things from the equation, we have no purpose to have been at any sort of conflict in the past, 50 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we're not going into Iraq to spread democracy. We're going to get their oil. We're not in Africa. We're not in West Africa. We're not on the Ivory Coast. We're not on... the different parts of the world which could really use their help. We're in the parts of the world where there's oil and blow, dude.
Well, stay tuned. We are in Africa.
Have never, ever, in the history of the country, ever invaded beyond their own borders, ever. And yet, in their country right now, there are God knows how many other countries' military in there trying to put their country right. What the hell is that all about?
Do they have oil?
Well, yeah, I think that's probably it. But also, I'm not too far from Israel, I don't think.
See, the Iraqi thing's a little different in that it was time to cash in on our client state once again. Okay, that's the fascinating part. Because remember, this is the guy that we backed during the Iran-Iraq conflict, right? This is the guy who was being armed not only by us but by the Soviet Union previously. Everybody was cashing in on the guy until it was no longer convenient. We didn't gain any oil by going into Iraq, or at least not seemingly, unless you take a very close look at what happened logistically regarding the grand shell game of undelivered oil that seemed to be circulating the globe without ever actually getting dropped off into the supply. That's a fascinating aspect. Not only that, but you take a look at the Copper Green program, and, well, rendition and torture are not just a scandal of the CIA. They're actually a business for hire. When you look deeper, and people's undesirables can get disappeared into black sites on another, well, in another location, and this is a highly profitable thing as well. So, once again, without blood, without oil, without drugs, what do you got? Well, fascinating part there. I've had people on my show who claim that essentially, yeah, there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but guess what? They were sold to them by people, you know, that happened to have Bush family members on their...
Yeah, kind of like that little, you know, Bill Hicks, dude, Bill Hicks. We have the receipt. You know what I mean, man? Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, and I pointed that out the first couple of times I discussed it on my show. Which is funny because we've had direct strange electronic interference when I start talking about this stuff. How not only
I notice your connection is suffering a little bit.
Every time, keywords, right? As soon as you explain the terrorism, drugs, torture, all of these things are absolutely interchangeable and related, and you can tie it right back to the stuff we know about Central and South America regarding the death squads and the interference in other sovereign nations' business as a constant. Gee, all of a sudden you have electronic difficulties. So, you know, keep that in mind as you go forward and you do your presentations. Thanks.
Yeah, I've lost quite a few phones over the years. The last one, Google started... It's hard to explain, but it was blatant sabotage. Frog, you said you seem to have something you want to say. Hello? but yeah, so being... We're all podcasters here. Out of all of us here, how often... I mean, really, when we're trying to do a really good show, like what we're doing right here, what we're doing right here... How often do you experience technical difficulties?
Thank you.
I became a co-host with Maria Heller in 2016 of Heller High Water. Actually, it's called Hell and High Water. But either way, this is a few clips from one of those shows, just in case you guys don't catch it. And, of course, it's available at Ocelli.com and Maria.net. That's Meria.net and Ocelli.com. Those are the only places that usually this show goes through. I think Gary Null's network plays it also, but I'm not too clear on where that is. Anyway, Hell and High Water.
The legendary Maria Heller.
Hi, good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my co-host, Chuck Ocelli. And if you're not familiar with Chuck and his work, you will be getting familiar with him. His website is Ocelli.com. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Maria. Although, is it morning in America?
It's more like midnight. It's almost like 1 minute to midnight on the nuclear clock. That's my thought.
Yeah, well, and meanwhile, we're getting ready to turn the nuclear codes over to the new president-select, you know. And I can't get through the sentence with a straight face at this point, Maria. My, oh, my, isn't it interesting?
Interesting.
You keep hoping it's fake news, don't you?
Well, it sure looks like it's something off of, you know, Andy Borowitz's site. But unfortunately, it's not fake news. You know, I look at the news this morning, and I see that he ended up picking, you know, Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, you know, who's got a big oil deal with Russia that can't go through because of Obama sanctions. That'll end. Drilling in the Arctic is next on deck. And also picked Rick Perry for Department of Energy when Rick Perry was running for president. He said he wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy, even though he couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I hate to concur with some people in the mainstream, but every once in a while, you know, what is that saying about the broken clock being right twice a day? The idea that they are actually appointing, and I say they because I can't imagine the Trumpster doing this all by himself. The idea that they are appointing people into cabinet positions that are completely counterintuitive to the cabinet itself is just amazing. And how it is that there is not a greater uproar just over that, I don't know.
I understand. I totally agree. But, you know, I think, and I said it on my show yesterday, that Trump supporters just wanted Trump to win because he's a star. And after he won, I don't think they're paying any attention anymore because they're not smart enough, okay? They're not going to be smart enough to say, well, what's he picking? What kind of laws is he putting through? They're still riding high on the our guy won, your guy lost, and this is why you're all upset and blaming it on Russia.
Right. Totally removing the idea that, you know, that there's always – and here's what's amazing to me. Crying foul on either side of this alleged equation is ridiculous. We all know that on both sides, the deck is loaded, right? The deck is rigged. The game is rigged. The deck is stacked. I don't know. I'm losing track of my metaphors here. The fact is that we're not the players at the casinos. We are occasionally the chips, and we're watching them play when we're bothering to watch.
Right. Well, but the thing is, the more that he loads this swamp, and he must have drained the swamp all right to find what was left even at the bottom of the swamp, the more you realize that, you know, many years ago, Chuck, when I first started, I did a lot of series with Robert Galen Ross, and I don't know whether you're familiar with his work, but at the time what we covered in depth was the North American Union and the destruction of the United States from the inside out. And here it is, every pick, every day, all I can see, and one of the things I post a lot is USA RIP, is this will destroy every single plus that's ever been put in place in the past 100 years in this country with an in-your-face Goldman Sachs, Big Oil, Rothschild, And even in Henry Kissinger aid. I mean, now they're right out there in your face. Secretary of State is the CEO of ExxonMobil. You couldn't have made that up if you worked for Mad Magazine for 20 years.
Well, yeah, and then you got an attorney general who has a, well, let's just say questionable track record when it comes to being racially sensitive. How about that? You know, an asset investor for commerce. What are we doing here, right? Mad Dog Mattis for defense. Love that one. The guy who decides that white phosphorus is perfectly acceptable to use on Iraqis. Yeah, this is lovely.
Right. Killing is fun.
You know, and I'm laughing, but it's gallows humor at this point because there are still so many people that don't seem to want to wrap their minds around the fact that draining the swamp turned into swamping the drain. And this is exactly what happened. I love it. J.P. Satilli, who is a journalist, also we'll get into fake news. I might have to mention him again because of the list of fake news websites out there and stuff.
Right.
But he was the one who said to me, you know what, it's exactly swamp the drain. I think it's a great hashtag for people that love to use those kind of things. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, education secretary, all right, fine. We could argue about that. And are schools outside of the public schools a better idea for kids? And, you know, do we need this kind of crap anyway?
Right. But it's been proven that charter schools give you a worse education. And in order to put together a charter school, they drained the public education funds in the neighborhood because they tried to do that in my town last year. And everybody was shocked in a Republican town that everybody pushed that charter school out. No one wanted it here. So
well,
I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow, sometimes the people in my town actually surprise me.
Yeah, well, see, but at least that's the people deciding.
Right.
Right? So that's kind of one of those dicey issues, and you could look at it one way or another. But then when we take a look at the guy from Carl's Jr.'s and Hardee's.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Putzer.
No, I don't want minimum wage for anybody, but that's all I employ, by the way. You know.
Right.
I want to make sure that we automate a lot of things. Yes, absolutely. And meanwhile, go pick up your burger that's probably going to kill you. You know, I love that. That's wonderful for, well, gee, the working folks, right?
Well, you know, what's interesting. I don't know if you had time to hear yesterday's show, but this Putzer, and that's what I'm going to call him. I already have names for them, even Mnookin. I call him Munchkin. But Putzker has a sexual harassment policy in place for people that work at Carl's Jr. or Hardee's. And he was interviewed, I believe, on CNN. And the guy was saying to him, well, you hear you have a president you're supporting and willing to work for. Would you have fired him knowing what we know about, you know, grabbing by the pussy and all his sexual harassment and rape of women? And he just kept dodging the question. You know, oh, well, you know, I guess it depends on whether you can prove it or not, was kind of his answer.
Yeah, I wonder how the employees that have been punished for the same thing would report that in his restaurants because, look, that's also a dicey issue because sometimes, you know, the accusation is enough to absolutely destroy someone.
Right.
That has happened. It's something that must be very carefully considered. Now, meanwhile, remember, I'm not sitting here supporting sexual harassment. What I'm saying is that issues like that are extremely complex, and guys like this who don't want to face it, you know, because their boss is cool with it now, what does that say? You know, here we go.
Well, Chuck, as a Kennedy investigator, I was dying to ask you these questions. I know my next show with Jim Fetz is probably going to be extremely interesting because we totally disagree on Trump. But he, you know, he's taking the attitude, you know, wait and see. People, I can't even understand that people would say wait and see looking at this cabinet. But as a Kennedy investigator, now let's really look at this, all right? To me, some of the biggest things here are he's already got three military people on his cabinet, okay, which is pretty much almost against the law in this country because we don't want military rule. But a lot of writers are talking about the possibility of a military coup with these men in place. That's number one, and this is a loaded question. Because of the issue with China, and of course the issue with Russia, and the fact that Trump doesn't want to have daily intelligence briefings, and he's also said the FBI and the CIA are wrong, and he's siding with Russia. Now, as a Kennedy investigator, do you remember the last time a president said something negative about the CIA?
You know, I sure do. However, saying something negative and being on the agenda or being in the right direction are two different things. A guy named John F. Kennedy certainly fought the agencies in a lot of ways. I am of the mind that Trump is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. I don't see them looking to remove him. I think the chaos that's going to be brought is intentionally planned. So I don't see him as a as a matter of fact, I think he's buying his life insurance with every one of these picks because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Now, that may be a strange thought, and I have listened to some of your shows recently and actually had a bone to pick with you about this particular issue. Ready?
Sure, pick away.
Okay, you said something about Dan Rather, and you kind of implied that because of Rather's recent statements, you know, maybe this would be the kind of guy who would get himself silenced, right?
Let's hope he stays alive. Remember, he lost his job when he outed George Bush as being AWOL during his service.
But where are the roots of Dan Rather's career, really? He was the local reporter in Dallas for CBS.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that this guy was on board with, you know, just because he's seeming to present dissent doesn't mean that it's not scripted. Sometimes there's a thing called controlled opposition. And I think Rather is one of these guys. When it was time to absolutely smash every single thing regarding the Kennedy assassination that wasn't printed in the Warren Commission, when it was time to spread disinformation about it, his career was being made. You know, this is the guy who said that Kennedy's head went violently forward when he viewed the Zapruder film.
Right.
No, I didn't make a mistake. Violently forward. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Dan Rather said on air after he viewed it moments earlier.
Right.
Okay. You know, so as far as his life being in danger, I doubt that one highly, Maria. And I've got to say, that was the first time I ever heard you make one of those assertions. And I went, no, I don't think
so. All right,
so,
well, I want to tell you another story. By the way, you do remember that it was Bill Moyers that went to LBJ pretty much with We Need a Cover-Up story.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been trying to make that sin up ever since, you know what I mean? So every time I see something by Bill Moyer, that's all I remember. But now let's go back in time. After Dan Rather sold the official story, okay, you may not remember, but I remember, and God, it must have been, I want to say maybe the early 70s, okay, where they supposedly found Dan Rather out in the desert wandering, screaming, what the hell was he screaming over and over again? Something like, what is the coordinate? What is the coordinate? Something like that. And that was a story that, you know, at the time, he kept saying, here's what it was. Kenneth, what is the frequency? Okay,
wow.
I'm assuming they put him in a nut house after that for a while. I don't know, I don't remember the particulars, but I sure as shit remember that story, because every time Dan Rather's name comes up, I think about that like that guy in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I wondered if they had, you know, LSD'd him or tried to, you know, wipe his mind or who knows what, you know. But one day, if I have time, I'll try to Google that and see if that story's still anywhere out there. You got to look at most of these people in the fake news, which is all you get on TV and the radio. Most of them are scripted. I mean, look how scripted 9/11 was.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I do vaguely recall that story, but like you said, they may have decided to cut the guy loose. They might have, you know, dosed him. Who knows what they do? You know, when they cut an asset loose, ask Saddam Hussein how that works out. You know, when they cut an asset loose, what happens to these guys, right? But he seems to have been back on script in recent years, you know, very much still supporting the old line and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting. I'll say this. I would certainly tune in for Dan Rather's deathbed confession, to find out what he really knew and what he was covering up purposely, knowingly throughout his life. I'd love to see that. But who knows? You know, I'm just saying that I don't see him as a dangerous news asset in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, not anymore. I don't know that he ever was, to tell you the truth.
You're right.
It's interesting because before the show, both of us talked and we said we wanted to talk about Trump's picks. And what was also interesting is not only were our heads in the same place, but I get Ralph Nader's newsletter, you know, every time he puts one out, probably once a week. And that was his whole thing, today. Trump trumpets his real plans. And, I mean, he takes apart the picks so far, but he also says basically the same thing we said. You know, he's picking people who detest the parts, you know, the jobs he's giving them. And here's a little paragraph he says. If there's a superlative to the word nightmare, can the dictionary provide a description of his bizarre selection of men and women, marinated either in corporatism or militarism, with strains of racism, class cruelty, and ideological rigidity? Many of Trump's nominees lack an appreciation of the awesome responsibilities of public office, let alone the fact that none of them are experienced in what he's picking them for. I mean, doesn't that make you a little scared?
Well, you know, I feel so much better knowing that the Treasury Secretary is the same guy who financed Suicide Squad and Avatar. So I think we're going to be okay, Maria. I say this tongue firmly planted in cheek again. But, you know, it's amazing to me. And Ben Carson, well, we've forgotten about Ben, haven't we?
I didn't forget about him. He was the one that said when they asked him to be in the administration, he actually said he didn't have any experience in government and turned it down at first. This was a guy who was running for president, and now they put him in charge of housing and development, a man who hates his own race. It's so obvious.
Well, you know, and the thing they keep saying is, well, he grew up poor in Detroit, right? So he's going to understand what the HUD responsibilities are. It's just so incredible. I mean, how much further do we have to go, right? The Small Business Administration. I posted out on social media a picture of Rod Serling smoking and drinking, saying, where is he when we need him now? Because, you know...
Right.
Linda McMahon.
When we were kids, we used to say, where's Lee Harvey Oswald now that you really need him?
Oh, well, you know, but now we found out that we might have not needed him. The CIA did, but, yeah.
Well, here's the other issue. You know, I think about Abraham Bolden, and I know you know him. I know you've interviewed him. And he talked about how the CIA pretty much detested in many ways and refused to do their job for Kennedy. So now here you have Trump openly siding with Russia against the CIA. To me, that's an extremely dangerous move.
Well, but then again, if it's part of the plan, right, this is the issue. And Abraham Bolden, really the most fascinating thing about him was the Secret Service detail that detested Kennedy at the time.
Right.
So the people protecting him detested him. It's always dangerous. And, you know, to go back to the idea about the generals coming in, one of which would require a waiver to even take the post he's been appointed to, by the way.
Yeah, but from what I understand, they slipped that in a spending bill and waived it. And I haven't seen that story anywhere else, but I saw that story like 2 weeks ago.
I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm going to have to catch up.
All right, well, that's a little pretty again. But listen, you know they're going to get in whoever he wants, and they're going to have these phony confirmations and back and forth, back and forth. But to me, you know, and obviously you and I aren't the only ones thinking this way, because, I mean, NATO goes into them one at a time and tears them all out a new one. You know, to put a climate change denier, Scott Pruitt, heading the EPA, this man who he has sued the EPA, and now they're going to put him in charge of it. I mean, doesn't anybody see anything odd about these picks?
Well, again, no, because Linda McMahon on the small business thing, people said, hey, she ran a multi-million dollar corporation. That was the immediate response I got. And it's like, yeah, it says small business. Read all the words. How about that?
Right. And she donated $7 million to Trump's super PAC. You know, $12 million of donors are now going to be on his team. And he was the one that talked about pay to play. Well, what could be more pay to play than this?
Hello, y'all. There are too many puppets in the mainstream and alternative media. Don't let nobody sell you poisons or lies. Get real honest info. Listen to the Ocelli Effect 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And if you want more of the alternative's alternative, visit Ocelli.com. And think for yourself.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Members of Ocelli.com receive uncut versions of the Ocelli Effect radio show, music unavailable anywhere else on the web, and exclusive downloadable content that you can take with you anywhere. For as little as $6.99 per month, American, you can support honest media like Ocelli.com.
This breaking news just in. The Ocelli Effect, hosted by Chuck Ocelli, is quite simply the alternative's alternative, decoding both mainstream and alternative information with honest analysis of both historical and current events. Mr. Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. For more details, go to Ocelli.com or listen to the show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Chuck, you're a bold MF, and I mean that in a good way. You're a machine effer, and I like that about you. And you have a great show, and I love being on your show because it's just like talking to my bro, and it's not, you know, it's not radio, so it makes me very relaxed, and I love it. And I hope people support you, man. I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having you and American Freedom Radio around.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect. The most underrated voice in all media. The alternative.
If you've survived Chuck this long, I guess we can do a little more music in this hour, a lot more stuff that is from my catalog at Ocelli.com, and a few other surprise clips we'll mix in as well. So hopefully you've enjoyed the first hour, and let's go into the second now of the Ocelli Effect special podcast, number one for 2017. Might hear Frankie in the background. There he is, saying hello for 2017. Okay, away we go.
The blame is sitting right across from you.
I don't think we've ever played Renegade Smith's entire Ocelli Effect theme on the show. How about if we play that uncut for you?
Yeah. I'm
Chuck, you're a bold MF, and you have a great show, and I love being on your show, because it's just like talking to my bro, and I hope people support you.
When you hear Chuck Ocelli, you know it's Chuck Ocelli.
You're Ocelli of that.
mind's eye, it is elemental, what is prophetic and captivating in the heavens. Blind reason is divine, and the wages of sorrow bring confrontation. Divide. Radiant, alluring, bewitching trappings, forbidden kindred wisdom, and the vibrant warmth, embracing, giving, the magnetic, the evolving inspiration. All that has been is within the One, and the One is all that meaning has. Simply irresistible, insatiable, and without a doubt, unmistakable.
Doctor.
Whenever you want to get going.
All right. Well, look, sounds good. It's interesting to me that you did that thing with your sister on your show about South Park in season 20, and, you know, a few people were not happy that you were covering that subject matter, but I found it funny. And why? Because I'm the guy who is always talking about cartoons. Cartoons are my decompression point. They always have been, right? And it's usually the more adult-oriented cartoons, the more, you know, let's get specific. You know, your Seth MacFarlane universe, obviously, you know, Family Guy and American Dad and Cleveland, yes, okay. And I was a Simpsons fan from the time I was in high school and all of that. Of course, the Simpsons has stagnated quite a bit. But still, I do watch that. So even though I've kind of extracted myself from mainstream media, for the most part, still got to check in with the news. And yes, I still check in with the cartoons. Right? Now, South Park is an interesting subject. And believe me, I go way beyond that. I love when some of these alt-media guys throw fits over stuff like, you know, Pickles the Demonic Dog and, you know... And Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, yeah. And, you know, the Adult Swim universe of those cartoons, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you also got H. John Benjamin doing that Archer thing, which is pretty funny.
Love
because
Archer.
It's an independent, yeah, independent spy agency, right, mm-hmm. who keeps running into the CIA, and there's lots of inside jokes for guys like you and me on that show.
Oh, Archer's got, they've mentioned Operation Gladio. They did a whole season about Iran-Contra. They're the only show I know of cartoon, or probably cartoon, but otherwise that really, it's, you know, mentioned false flag as like a plot device, not like as a sort of a cheap throwaway, but actually as a plot device. So, yeah, I love Archer, and I would love to get Adam Reed on my show at some point to talk about Archer and spying, because he knows a lot too. You know, the whole episode's about blowing up pipelines in Turkmenistan to you know, hinder the Russians.
Right, and then of course, like you said, with the Iran-Contra thing, you had what's that guy's name? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but he's in Mr. Robot now. Christian Slater.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Christian Slater comes in during the whole coke running operation, which goes awry. And I love, but see, that's the thing though, is I keep track of all this cartoon stuff. And so I find it fascinating when somebody else actually does that. Because for the most part, a lot of people kind of brush it off. Oh, come on, man, you know, you're being a kid and whatever, but this stuff isn't just kid subjects. And really, to me, because it's really, okay, you know how they always said that painting and different forms of art have always represented the time period in which they were created, not only the artist's rendition, but you could also find a lot of clues to the zeitgeist of points in history based on when a piece of art is created, right? You know, certain things would be more acceptable. The positioning of characters, the painting of them in certain ways, you know, the adding to halos of Jesus at certain points in art history have something to do with things that were going on. Weird little messages are contained within artwork. Now, I know it's like, Chuck, you're talking about cartoons. But
I'm right there with you.
But it prevails, doesn't it? You know, and South Park has been an interesting study because – it didn't stagnate like The Simpsons. It's not a whole lot of, yes, I'd realize that Family Guy creates, and I look at the scripts for these things too. Family Guy usually creates three different story arcs where one is the primary and there are two subplots that go on in the half hour, okay? And that's a common formula, so it's really not all that innovative in my head. Of course, Family Guy has evolved and all these cartoons evolve, but South Park is a weird animal. Okay, now why do you think I'm saying that, Pierce, before I get into my odd discussion?
Well, I mean, South Park is a weird animal in that, they actually do produce, they write, voice, animate everything, every episode, every week. So, you know, despite what some commenters had to say on the episode I did with my sister, yes, in fact, Matt Stone and Trey Parker do every episode week to week. They've only the only time they've ever missed a deadline was due to a power failure in the area. They have they've become a little bit more into the having like a mid-season break. So there are like two times throughout this recent season where they did have a week off, but that's how they're able to stay partly so fresh. You know, I've seen interviews with Trey Parker in particular, who says that the fact that you have this very short turnaround, you know, like the minute you finish the episode and you get it off to air over on the East Coast, you're writing the next episode. That does force you to be creative. You don't have the luxury of sort of taking your time and slowly developing. You've got to be fast. You've got to be on top of it. So they, in that sense, I think it's a very fast. It can be a very fast-paced show. It can be very, you know, loaded with lots and lots of really interesting stuff. But I think they're also just so. I think South Park is just such a great show in that they're equal opportunity. Like haters, I guess it's like a bad term, but they go after everybody in an equal opportunity sort of a way. So they attack everybody: liberals, conservatives, libertarians, hippies, you know, you name it. They're sort of open to attacking everybody, and they're just they somehow manage to make you think in a way that I don't think there's any other show out there that does that, especially when you look at the show and it's mainly about these, like, four, you know, young boys in the fourth grade you know, just sort of living their own lives. But yet they tackle really important issues. They also just are genuinely funny. I mean, some of my I would say probably my favorite episodes are the ones where it's just the boys being boys. But even in those episodes, they manage to kind of capture the culture and the society that we live in at that moment in a way that, like a show on The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa are talking about iPhones and stuff, it just doesn't translate really well. Whereas South Park does manage to do that. And it mimics what's going on in our own lives to such a wonderful degree that I think that's partly why it makes people a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, because they will cover topics and suddenly you're sat there thinking, oh, God, like, did I, you know, was I being the idiot on this? Was I sort of following the mob mentality on a particular topic? And I've certainly had things that I've disagreed with on South Park, but have made me think about it in another way. And I can't think of another show out there that does that, let alone a cartoon series.
Well, see, a lot of these shows will cause you to think, but that quick turnaround time is something that's really unique in one of these larger, better-known entities, let's just say, in cartooning. And it is fascinating because there is... You know, Pebbles and Bam Bam got to grow up on the Flintstones at one point, and it really sucked. So I think cartoonists understood after that we really shouldn't have people aging up much unless we do, you know, a look at the future or look at the past. We can, you know, go back to, I mean, even in South Park, they've done that kind of to some degree. But all these other cartoon shows like Family Guy and everything else, you have to be in a static time period, which is interesting to do that and then also have to address current events. Now, again, not agreeing with everything they do. I mean, the whole farcical setup to 9/11 truth one time on South Park kind of irritated me a bit. Nobody pissed me off as much as Seth MacFarlane did with that recent vaccination crap that he did, which really aggravated the hell out of me. And it's sad because really that was my favorite for a long time was Family Guy. But here we go. The South Park universe is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We have, I mean, yes, the devil seems to show up, yes, in The Simpsons. Let's just use Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park as examples. The devil shows up in all the universes, right? Current events do show up in all the universes, even though there's only very subtle changes in The Simpsons. You know, they finally got a flat screen TV or whatever. But they are using cell phones now, although the phone, I think, is still hanging on the wall. I haven't really paid that close attention lately. Maggie still hasn't really spoken yet, so on and so forth. But it's interesting to me because, okay, South Park came out in 1997, or at least aired for the first time in 97. I was a tape trader before that, and the original Spirit of Christmas episode that most resembles the South Park characters today was circulated amongst tape traders before the show ever aired. So I saw that Spirit of Christmas, which I'm sure everybody's seen by now, where it was Jesus versus Santa. You ever see that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And I would say that, you know, when the first show aired, which I'm pretty sure was like Cartman gets an alien anal probe or something. This very first show was not necessarily about anything. Like you said, it was more or less boys being boys, but then the added strangeness of the universe where the cows are actually connected to the aliens and, the police who are saying, you know, nothing to see here and all this kind of stuff. There were these common gags that were sort of built in, and we were also introduced to, oh, my God, they killed Kenny, which was a running theme for a long time, which has since been abandoned. Okay. But it has changed a lot over the years, and the culture's reflected. There goes my boy, making a little bit of noise. The culture is reflected in that you see a change in the political and the social commentary because it was sort of a formula to begin with when the show was first being tried. Now, that being said, I'm not going to go over all 20 seasons, but over the 20 seasons, which has been just a little less than 20 years worth of time, and I was watching it when it premiered, right?
So nice, yeah.
You know, and really the time I remember falling off the bed was later on when the substitute teacher comes in and Wendy freaks out on her. I just about fell off my bed because I used to lay on my bed and watch South Park when she says, "Hey, look, don't fuck with me." that was pretty hysterical. And these characters have sort of developed, and, you know, of course, Eric Cartman has gone from being pretty much just ignorant and fat to being, well, kind of maniacal, and even at one point feeds another kid's parents to him in a bowl of chili. Scott Tenorman, who turns out later to be his brother. Anyway, all of that aside, right, and all of these things being, you know, sort of theater of the absurd and everything, I think it's interesting to take a look at it now because they changed a little bit since they did that whole Lord of the Rings series. And that was the first time I think that, you know, each show was not simply a standalone episode on its own. And there was a continuation. I mean, there was, sort of was with the cliffhanger with who is Cartman's mom and all that, or who's Cartman's dad, excuse me. Oops, just gave it away. But the thing is, the formula changed a bit, and they tried to adapt to the times and tried to encourage, you know, more regular viewership, I think, which is good considering the fact that things have changed. People watch a lot of these TV shows on their computers or smartphones, things like that now, instead of going to a television at a particular prescribed time and always tuning in for the new episode. Now, that's not to say that that's not out of play anymore, but the fact that they did this, I think, was more of a business move than anything else. And last year, season 19 was kind of interesting in that way, because all of a sudden we were dealing with the PC world, mm-hmm. right, which I found extremely hysterical and a lot of sort of backhanded multi-layered jokes built in. You know, the guy who comes in is PC principal. Well, he's the principal of the school, but the PC principal is who arrived here to show up and start having its way in a town, which I love the speech he gives, by the way, at the beginning when he's in the gymnasium and he says, you know, or he's at a, I forget what it was an assembly, and he says, you know what, you guys have had this and this and this and that,
right.
And the third thing said and happened around here, and he is describing some of the most politically incorrect things that you could possibly imagine. So it was like, it was them actually embodying a character in a cartoon, which I thought was extremely appropriate and funny, because I'm not one of these guys who believes in the PC language being helpful, okay, or PC behavior being helpful. I think it's actually done a lot more damage than it was meant to prevent, quite honestly. Now that's me, and I know you might differ on that, but how did you feel about PC Principal in season 19 before we get into 20?
I was a big fan of season 19. I loved the PC Principal. I loved, of course, PC Principal is the perfect character or movement for Randy to get sort of in over his head on. And I loved the idea, too, that because they are... you know, in spite of what they might say or think, you know, the whole PC culture is very bro-ish. It is very, you know, it is this sort of, like, demanding, in-your-face. Of course, they bully everybody into using, you know, the certain type of language or having a certain type of cultural norm. But I loved this sort of embodiment of PC culture in this, where it's basically like a frat house. You find out that it's really all about, quote, crushing puss, that really all these PC bros are just doing this to sleep with women, which is a really funny, and is true, too, of course.
I'm going to need your affirmative consent to make sure that you're absolutely okay with crushing your puss at exactly time, which is so funny. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And it is, like, true. You know, you've seen, you know, maybe talking to the younger crowd out there, but... You know, we've all seen those, you know, those kind of assholes at the bar or at a party who is, you know, trying to, you know, he's, oh, I'm a feminist, this and that, and, you know, uses all this sort of silly language and, oh, they seem so cool and, you know, and I don't know, smart, and they've got, you know, and they're just talking to this girl. And in the back of your mind, you know, all they're really thinking about is, am I going to score tonight? You know, this is how I'm gonna get women.
Well, right.
Incapable of being myself. Incapable of approaching a person on... You know, that's what's so funny, all of the, like, affirmative consent to, like, talk with people. It's like, it's just yet another way of kind of pushing men and women, and not just men and women, you know, pushing everyone apart, making sure that we don't interact with people normally, you know, unless it's this whole, you know... affirmative consent. And then, of course, in that season, they may, you know, the guys have to fill out these forms, and they have to get them notarized by the girl, and, you know, they initial this and here and there, depending on what kind of sex is going on. And I love that. I love, too, the whole the sort of attack of the ads and advertising in general, the way that advertising is infiltrated. You know, it's going on about the same thing.
Hello, y'all. There are too many puppets in the mainstream and alternative media. Don't let nobody sell you poisons or lies. Get real honest info. Listen to the Ocelli Effect 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And if you want more of the alternative's alternative, visit Ocelli.com. And think for yourself.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Members of Ocelli.com receive uncut versions of the Ocelli Effect radio show, music unavailable anywhere else on the web, and exclusive downloadable content that you can take with you anywhere. For as little as $6.99 per month American, you can support honest media like Ocelli.com.
This breaking news just in. The Ocelli Effect, hosted by Chuck Ocelli, is quite simply the alternative's alternative, decoding both mainstream and alternative information with honest analysis of both historical and current events. Mr. Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. For more details, go to Ocelli.com or listen to the show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Chuck, you're a bold MF, and I mean that in a good way. You're a machine effer, and I like that about you. And you have a great show, and I love being on your show because it's just like talking to my bro, and it's not, you know, it's not radio, so it makes me very relaxed, and I love it. And I hope people support you, man. I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having you and American Freedom Radio around.
Okay, can we get quiet, please? Everybody sit down. Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavor. And now the moment we've been waiting for. The man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. Who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the largest flavored Jell-O shooter that the world has ever seen. And a great man of science who proved to us once and for all that no matter how much cherry-flavored Jell-O you put in your swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. I give to you, Chuck Ocelli!